I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, and I will never, never desert you. For lo, I am with you forever and ever. And if you say,
well, praise God. This is the Word of Faith Netcast, and I'm glad you could join us again this week. We're continuing with our study of the Spirit of Life in Christ Jesus. We need to live in the Spirit of Life in Christ Jesus and not in the law of sin and death. There is a law of the Spirit of Life, and there is a law of the Spirit of Death, and so we need to live in life. And we, matter of fact, we talked about the scripture where God said, I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore, hint, choose life. And so that's what we want to talk about as we continue with our study here on the Spirit of Life in Christ Jesus. Now, let me give you a little update on some things. Of course, WFR.org, we're still going strong with that. We've got some new things happening. Dr. Fred Price will be starting very soon, Monday through Friday. We haven't got an exact date on that just yet, but it shouldn't be too long now. And things are happening in that arena. And we're also doing some research with Low Power AM Radio to get ready for gearing up for that next phase. So there's a lot of things happening in the WFR.org world. So I'd encourage you to go check that out. And I tell you again, the main thing we need is for you to tell people that the internet radio station, WOFR.org, is available. So share that information with everybody you know. Send emails. Talk to people at church. Do whatever you can to get the word out about the station. Amen. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 8, where we've been reading. And let's drop down to verse 7. Which is where we left off last time, talking about the carnal mind being enmity against God. The word enmity here is ekthra in the Greek, and it means hostility or opposed. So hostile or opposed to God. Now, you do not want to be hostile or opposed to God. So let's read this. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, we need to live after the Spirit. Last week we talked about the fact that those that are intensely interested in the things of the Spirit, they're the ones that are living after the Spirit. And then there are those that are intensely interested in the things of the flesh. Now, you know, the Word of God says that people are drawn away of their own lust and enticed. There is a fleshly lust that will draw you away. Draw you away from what? Draw you away from spiritual things. Draw you away from God. Draw you away from the things you should be interested in. We found out that this term that's used here for intense interest, remember we liken it to a sports fan or a fanatic. You become a fanatic about something that you're intensely interested in. We need to be a fanatic about the things of the Spirit. We need to be so interested in the things of the Spirit that you are that you basically lose interest in the things of the flesh. And therefore, you won't have the problem with lust. You won't have the problem with evil thoughts. You won't have the problem with dealing with the flesh. Now, My pastor this morning, when he was teaching, said something that I turned to a friend of mine there. I was in the sound room, and so he was there in the sound room with me. And I turned to him, and I said, now there's a quote we need to write down. Pastor Ed said, you can't commit adultery while you're speaking in other tongues. And I turned to my brother Larry there in the sound room. I said, boy, now there's a quote we need to put up for Pastor Ed. But you know what? That's right. You can't commit adultery praying in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you're doing something you are concentrating on. You are intensely interested in the things of the Spirit. They that are after the flesh, verse 5 says, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, that intense interest, that's what this after the Spirit's talking about. They that are intensely interested in the things of the Spirit, they will mind the things of the Spirit. So if you want to grow spiritually, the best thing that you can do is concentrate on the spiritual realm. Now, as you know, we are a spirit. We have a mind, will, and emotions. We live in a physical body. That's why they call it tripartite man. Now, that's a long theological term. But basically, it means you're composed of three portions, parts, elements, however you want to look at it. But basically, you are a spirit individual. That's who you really are. The key part of you that makes you you, that's a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a mind, which is a soul. Mind, will, and emotions, that's your possession. You know, you shouldn't be ruled by your mind because your mind is your possession. You are a spirit. You possess, you have a mind, will, and emotions. But that mind, will, and emotions shouldn't lead you around like a ring through the nose. You shouldn't be guided or directed by your mind, will, and emotions. And then you live in a physical body. Now, in terms of intense interest, there are people that have an intense interest in the things of the body. They build themselves up physically. They lift weights. You know, these folks that lift weights so much and maybe even use a little chemical help, if you get my drift, have these huge muscles that are well-defined. They're so interested in the body, they're developing the body to the exclusion of all else. They'll spend hours and hours developing their body. Well, as long as you're not using the chemicals, there's nothing necessarily wrong with pumping some iron and building up your muscle. Now, if that's all you do and that's all you're interested in, I would tend to say you're becoming unbalanced in that area. Okay? Well, then there are folks that are intensely interested in developing the mind. They spend a tremendous amount of time studying natural knowledge, a tremendous amount of time developing let's say memory techniques or mental techniques, and so they build up their mind. They want to become very adept at mental activity, exercise, things of that nature. And so they become very good at it, and they spend a lot of time at it because they're intensely interested in developing the mind. Now, what we need to concentrate on is the development of the human spirit. Did you know you can develop your spirit? If you are intensely interested in the things of the Spirit, you can begin to develop your spirit and not lean to the mind, the will, and the emotions, and not lean to the flesh, but rather lean to the Spirit. If you start to become extremely sensitive in the spiritual realm, that will actually affect the mental realm because your mind will become renewed to the Word of God. See, as you concentrate on spiritual things, you'll begin to study the Word. That just goes without saying. You can't develop spiritually unless you're studying the Word of God. So as you study the Word, then you get your mind in tune and in line with the Word of God. That's renewing your mind, which Romans chapter 12 talks about. Matter of fact, let's just go on over there. That's a good segue right over into Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Notice how he says this. In the King James, that may seem a little blind to you, but let me just put it in modern English. The word beseech means to beg. He says, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There it is, the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, that's talking to Christians, every man that's among you, amen, he's not talking to the world here, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now you may say, well, I'd love to build myself up in the faith realm, but I just wasn't given a whole lot of faith. God didn't bless me with a lot of faith. Well, no, wait a minute. According to the scripture here, every man among you, that is every Christian, has been given the measure of faith. Now, don't misread that. I went for a long time misreading the scripture. I would quote it without reading it very closely, and I found myself saying, God's dealt to every man a measure of faith. What's the difference between a measure and the measure? The Lord asked me a question one day when I was reading this, and I, as usual, said a measure of faith. He said, stop and read it again. I said, a measure of faith. He said, stop and read it again. On the third time, I thought, well, I'd better really pay attention. So I read it very closely. God hath dealt to every man, and I knew that every man was talking about every man among you, so it was Christians, every man among you, the measure of faith. And then he said, now take note of that. The measure is not a measure. The measure means the same measure. And then he reminded me of the scripture that said that God is no respecter of persons. See, if he respected Brother Copeland as a believer greater than he did me, I'm talking about initially when, you know, when Brother Copeland got born again in the 60s and I got born again, in the 60s, about the same time, 69, so it's almost the 70s. But at any rate, whenever that occurred, you know, did God just kind of flip through his little chart and say, okay, Brother Copeland, you're going to get a whole bunch of faith. Brother Bill, you're not going to get a whole lot of faith. No, that's not the way God works. He's no respecter of persons. And that, you know, not having respect of persons means he treats everybody the same way. Again, we'll take it out of the King James. He treats everybody the same way. He is a loving heavenly Father, and therefore he treats all his children the same. Amen? So, when you are born again, you are given the measure of faith. What's the measure? Well, I don't know what the quantity is. You know, it's not like I've got some measuring stick that I can measure what that measure is. But we do know it's the same measure, because that's implied by the way the verse is phrased here and by the other scriptures that lend credence to the fact that God's no respecter of persons, that he treats everyone the same. So, what is the measure? I don't know what it is, but I know we all started out with the same. Amen. Brother Copeland had the same measure as Brother Bill did. Kenneth Hagin started out with the same measure as Brother Copeland did. And so on and so on and so on. What's the difference? The difference is what they do with it. Now, let's put it in the natural, and maybe you can understand it a little better. If you look at a newborn baby, you know, brand new, just been born, and you hold that little baby in your arms, would you say that that is, you know, that baby is super strong in terms of muscles? No, he's actually very weak. He or she, that little baby, has to be protected and nourished and encouraged and strengthened in order for them to grow up to their full potential. But let me ask you this. Does that baby have all the same number of muscles that an adult human being has? Well, yeah, they have the same muscles in terms of number. But what's the difference? The difference is development. An adult human that has done anything physically at all. I mean, there's a lot of people that are adults that are not very well physically developed. But if they've done anything at all, they have developed a certain amount of strength in their arms and their legs and their back and so forth. And they can lift things. Most average folks can lift a decent amount of weight. Some people have developed further physically that they can lift tremendous amounts of weight. There's people that can lift 300-400 pounds. You know, it's amazing. But what's the difference? Do they have any more muscles than that little baby has that's just been born? No, they've got the same number of muscles. The difference is the development. So it's the same thing with faith. It's the same thing with the things of the Spirit. We start out on an even keel. We start out the same measure. But how we develop in the spirit is determined by our attention to it. Now, I want you to think about that muscle guy. What do you see him doing every single day without fail? He is in that gym and he is pumping iron over and over and over. He is pumping iron hours at a time. Now, I haven't, been a tremendous advocate of weightlifting, but I was somewhat interested in it, particularly in my teen years. And so I lifted weights for a while. And you know what? It was not a lot of fun. I'll just be honest with you. Me personally, I did not get into it. I was interested in the results. I liked the fact I was getting some muscle definition, but I didn't enjoy it. Those, hours that I spent, and to be honest, between you and me, wasn't a whole lot of hours. It was a fairly short period of time, but some is better than none. Amen. But the thing is, I never really got into it. Now, there are people that truly get into it. They can spend hours in the gym, and that, just between you and me, mindless repetition of pumping iron, somehow or another, that just calms them, and it's just a good thing for them. Bless their hearts. More power to them. I'm glad they enjoy it. But you know what? By doing that continuously, repetitively, they develop strength. See, when you develop the physical muscle, the physical body, you develop strength. Okay? Now, there are other people that spend hours and hours and hours studying in the natural. They study, they read, they meditate on things with their mind. They develop their mind. What happens when you develop the mind? What is strengthened? There's an element of the mind called will power. When you develop your mind, you develop willpower. Now, this is something Brother Copeland taught many, many, many years ago, and it really blessed me when I heard him teach this. He said, if you develop the physical body, you develop physical strength. If you develop the mind, you develop willpower. If you develop the spirit, you develop in the area of faith and in the area of wisdom. See, wisdom doesn't come from the mind. Wisdom comes from the spirit. Have you ever heard a definition of the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Again, I go back to Brother Copeland. Heard him teach this many years ago. Knowledge, you can gain by study. That's just information. There are a lot of people today that have a tremendous amount of information in their head because they've done a lot of study, but they don't have a lot of wisdom. They know facts, but they don't know, and here's the key about wisdom, they don't know how to use the knowledge they've got. That's what wisdom is, the ability to use knowledge. So, you're wise when you take the knowledge you have and you use it correctly. Now, let's give you an example, probably the best and most famous example of wisdom, and that's Solomon. Solomon was presented with a situation where he had two women that claimed to be the mother of a small child, okay, a little baby. And the woman that was claiming to be the mother basically said, that's my child, you can't have that child, talking about the other lady. And so Solomon looked at the one woman, looked at the other, saw that one had more of a concern of getting back at the lady than taking care of the child, and the other lady, all she cared about was the welfare of the child. And so through using knowledge correctly, through wisdom, he told the guard there, he said, take your sword and cut the child in half, and give the one woman the one half and the other woman the other half. And the real mother yelled out, no, 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 let her keep the child. And the false mother said, go ahead, cut the child in half. Why? She just wanted to get back at the other lady. So the great wisdom of Solomon basically came forth and said, well, let's just say we're going to cut the child in half. Who basically says, no, don't do that, because they love the child, they want to preserve the child's life. It was the real mother. So he told the guard, all right, give this lady the child because she's the real mother. And people go, oh my, what great wisdom. Well, that wisdom was the ability to use knowledge. He use the knowledge that he had, and he used it well. But that comes from the Spirit. The operation of knowledge, of wisdom, comes from the Spirit, not from strictly the mind. Now, keep in mind that the book of Hebrews in chapter 1 says that it is very difficult to separate the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions, and the spirit. The only thing that can do it is the Word of God. So if you understand that, then you'll understand why it's so difficult to parse, if that's the right word for this situation, it's basically a computer word, to parse the difference between the mind, will, and emotions, the soul, and the spirit, because you are a spirit, you have a mind, will, and emotions, you live in a body. All right? I don't want to get too far into that study of tripartite man, but I wanted to go far enough for you to see that there are three areas you can develop in. You can develop spiritually, and that's really the area that I would encourage you strongly to get involved with. You can develop mentally. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with education. Nothing wrong with study. Absolutely. And you can develop physically. And of course, again, that is beneficial. Matter of fact, the scripture says, bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. That's the part you got to realize. Godliness or spiritual development or operating in the spiritual realm, that is profitable in every area of life. That is, your spirit, your soul, mind, will, and emotions, and your body can benefit from spiritual development. So we need to develop spiritually. You say, well, how do I develop spiritually? Well, there's a lot of ways, not the least of which is studying the Word of God, not the least of which is being involved and being intensely involved in spiritual things. But another way you can develop your spirit is to pray in the Holy Spirit. The book of Jude, of course, has only one chapter, but in that one chapter, in verse 20, it says, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, let's study that out. Let's see what it's saying. Beloved, so he's talking to Christians, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Now, it doesn't say that praying in tongues will build up your faith. Look at it closely. Read it closely. It said, you build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Spirit, will build you up on your faith. What does this mean to be built up? Well, it's a Greek word that basically means to be built up like a battery is built up, like you're charging a battery. And you put a battery on charge and it trickles power into it and it builds up the charge in that battery. Well, in the same way, that's the way this word is used in the Greek. You are built up, you are charged up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It is vitally important that you pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Spirit, daily. As a matter of fact, many times a day would not hurt you at all. Paul said to the Corinthian church, think about this Corinthian church when he said this. He was actually writing them to tell them that they were praying in the Holy Ghost maybe a little too much. You know, that let's let some folks minister in the service in a language that you can understand. You know, but he didn't say you shouldn't pray in the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, he said that you should forbid not the speaking in other tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, toward the end of that chapter. But the bottom line is, he also told him, he said, I pray in the Holy Spirit more than all of you put together. If you look at the Greek, that's exactly what he said. I pray in the Holy Ghost more than all of you put together. Well, that's a whole lot of praying. This Corinthian church, they did a whole lot of praying in the Holy Ghost. And here's Paul saying, I do it more than all of you put together. That's an awful lot of praying in the Holy Spirit. But why was he doing that? He was building himself up on his most holy faith, according to Jude chapter 1, verse 20. As I said, there's only one chapter. So he was building himself up, just like charging a battery. Praying in the Holy Ghost will build you up, will charge you in spiritual things. It will help you develop spiritually. Now, why is that? Because you're exercising a spiritual gift. Just like that muscle man, you know, who's working out every day with his physical muscles through repetition, he's developing his physical body. The guy who's, you know, maybe some kind of college professor or whatever, who's studying all the time, developing his mind through repetition of study. He's building up his mind. Well, through repetition of operating in the spiritual realm, praying in the Holy Ghost, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. So you need to operate in the Spirit. You need to pray in the Spirit. You need to meditate on the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God is repeating the Word of God over and over and over. And I tell you what, Buddy Harrison taught me something many, many years ago as he was teaching, and it has stuck with me. He said one of the best ways to meditate Scripture is to read the Scripture and over, but then emphasize a different word each time you read it. Let's just use this as an example. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Now, let's read that and emphasize each word like Buddy taught. So we being many are one body in Christ. So we being many are one body in Christ. So we being many are one body in Christ. So we being many are one body in Christ. See, every time you say it, by emphasizing a different word, you see a little different aspect of that Scripture. So we being many. So what we're seeing is, even though we're individuals, even though there's a lot of us that are individuals, we are one in the body of Christ, and everyone members one of another. So in other words, as we are members of that one body, and even though we are separate, we are still members, everyone, of each other. We have connection to each other. You start meditating on that. You start thinking about that. You start turning that over and over in your spirit, and you'll begin to get revelation knowledge from that Scripture, and you'll see things you haven't seen before. I find every time I read the Scripture, and boy, I've read it through many times, every time I read the Scripture, I get something new out of it. Why is that? Because of the repetition, because of going over it, because I'm meditating on it, because I'm studying it. And as I do that, it develops my spirit. So you're praying in the Holy Ghost. You're building yourself up on your most holy faith. You're meditating the Scriptures by reading them and studying them and meditating them. And you forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but no, you come together at church and you fellowship with people of like precious faith. That's another very key thing that you need to be doing. Amen. Oh, well, we're starting to get over into some things now. We're going a little different direction here, talking about how to grow and develop spiritually. We're going to be continuing to get into that, but right now, I want to remind you of a couple things. You can write me right here at Dr. Bill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WOFM.org, or you can write our regular mailing address, Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 4066, 4066, Archdale, North Carolina, 27263. I tell you what, you need to take advantage of our website, WOFM.org. You need to take advantage of all the materials that are there. We'd love to hear from you. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.